Welcome. We are back. This is the first show of the 4Men 4Real show in 2018. We are back after a long deserved vacation and holidays and just, you know, regular old Negroisms. I'm trying to clean up a little bit in 2018 and a little bit, so I won't say what I usually say, but we're back. We're back here with you guys. It's me, Big C. I got Eddie, Henry, and Joe on board. Fellas, say what's up.
Good evening.
Yeah. Just on a technical note, one of our brothers is on the road, but perseverance on and dedication on his behalf. He is roaming, so we might hear a little bit of the traveling sound, but he wanted to be here for the first show, so that's perseverance and dedication to the cause. Brownie's points, like I said, he can multitask, but whatever. So, last show we had was December of last year. So much stuff has gone on. So, let me go around the table here. Big Hen, what's been going on with you?
Hey, well, Happy New Year to everybody. And I hope this traveling noise isn't too much in the background.
You're like than about a month over New Year. We're already in February, just if you didn't know.
You don't want me to cut you
off
the show, do you?
Don't do it. Please don't even entertain.
Is that what you want on the first show of the year? Because I'll make it happen for the people. I'll make it a real interesting show. But as I was stating, I wanted to say a shout out to my brother Joe, who had a birthday. When was your birthday, Joe?
Oh, January the 18th.
January the 18th, and that was a night I thought we were going to have a show and we were going to be able to acknowledge him on the show. So happy belated birthday on the 4Men 4Real show to one of our brothers.
That's awesome.
Happy belated birthday.
He's going to make me smack this. Okay. So,
what? I just said happy belated birthday.
So what's going on with me? Everything's everything. You know, I'm just blessed. Sometimes I'm stressed, and I have to tell myself I'm too blessed to be stressed, and I stay in that light. What about the rest of y'all?
Yeah, what's up with you? What's up? Okay. That's quite good. Nothing new since the last time we talked?
At least talking to me.
Yeah, I've done some moving around and different things like that, but nothing to mention.
Huh? Joe, what's up with you? How's everything been with you?
Yeah. Everything's going well here. Can't complain. You know, just working and enjoying life.
Okay. Brother Eddie, how you be? Ow.
Fred. I'm doing wonderful, man. I've been really, really busy. I didn't realize how much I miss writing, so I've been doing a lot of writing. It was needed writing, though. I just had to step back and kind of analyze what the common issues that I've been encountering with new clients, and it caused me to start writing different articles in reference to those general or common issues so that people could kind of – I can point them to that and say, hey, before we get started, kind of – read over this so that you can start working on this so it can be an easier and smoother transition to get our final destination in reference to you as my client. Also, investments are doing very, very well. I shared that with you offline, so I'm really, really excited about that in reference to my legacy.
You can't publicly talk about that yet, can you, or can you, or not? Is that public knowledge as of right now?
Yeah, I can't say. So that's doing very, very well as far as investments. And that's it, man. Just still building the No Love Empire. And just I'm really excited about 2018. That's pretty much it. So Happy New Year to everybody.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's already February.
Nah, whatever. I'm going to keep that going. Thanks, Henry.
Okay,
you're welcome,
well,
Eddie. No problem, man.
Well, on my behalf, ain't too much been going on. Today we're actually doing our show on a Wednesday because January I started taking online IT classes, IT training for some computer certifications. So those are on a regularly scheduled Thursday. So hence why we're recording on a Wednesday. And I've been in enthralled with that class or indulged with that class. Other than that, not too much has really been going on. Working, got a little bit sick at the beginning of the year, dealing with these with kids. And I guess my highlight has been Star Trek. And I'm not going to get going deep because I can go a whole hour and plus on that. But for anybody who's into needs, you really have to get CBS Online and you really need to watch Star Trek Discovery. Even if you think have any concept of what you thought Star Trek was about, you know, all before, it's gory, it's graphic. Hell, they even had Wyclef Jean playing one time on the show. So watch the show. Other than that, nothing else been going on with me. I've been doing pretty good. Again, you know, we had a little bit of scheduling conflict with the show, but hey, we had been going strong. Excuse me, we had been going strong for since the last election. And we went strong from 2016 all the way through 2017. And I think we all deserved a little bit of break, get our energy back, recollect on our thoughts or whatever. So we are back here with you guys for 2018. This year we hope to bet even better what we put out there for you guys every other week, better contact, better conversations and things of that nature. So, start the show. Current events. So, we all know that we got a new it's tax season. So I'm pretty sure all the brothers and sisters is happy about that. Just a little sidebar. If you claim earned income credit anywhere on your taxes, which you guys won't be seeing your refund till, I believe, February 27th is when they're going to start the direct deposits on that. The current schedule is if you got your tax return filed online by February 5th now, you should estimate, because it's usually about 21 days, but you should estimate getting your direct deposit in there by the 19th. You know, and if any, I'll put on our Foreman For Real a link to what the direct deposit schedule is for federal taxes. And again, that's an estimate, because if you've got other things going on, then that may. But there's a little guesstimate guide that gets published online of if you file your taxes by X, Y, and Z date, this is when you should have your dough in your bank account. Of course, there's the everyday struggle that's going on with number 45, I guess. I'm not going to draw too much into that. We all know there's a bunch of BS with that. And this past Sunday was the Super Bowl. Now, I myself am not a big, huge, giant football fan. However, I am from Boston. I am a Patriots supporter. I am a little bit disheartened that we got all the way to the Patriots to the Super Bowl again and lost. Did anybody, you, Joe, Henry, Eddie, any of y'all make any money this weekend or anything like that?
I'm not supporting the NFL. I'm kneeling with Kaepernick, so I can't tell you anything about that NFL. I've not watched it all year. I wasn't going to waste my time watching the Super Bowl, nor the ads that were sponsored and the commercials that we love so much. But, no, I couldn't say anything about it.
Oh, really, dog? You really? No, y'all didn't want? Okay.
No. I'm hanging with my frat brother Kaepernick. Until they do right by him, I can't fuck with the NFL. I mean, honestly, the NFL is a multi-billion-dollar business that has a lot of racist white men in charge of it. And the thing is that the brother was kneeling about police brutality. Now, if this had been anything else that they wanted to kneel for, nobody would have said that he was being unpatriotic. And if you really think about it, dissent in the United States and having your own opinion, which is protected by the First Amendment, is the most American thing that you can do. So, I think it's that's one of the things, when I joined the military, that's what I fought for. I mean, that's what we fight for is freedom. So for these guys to constantly say that they're on the conservative side of things and that they support freedom and they want freedom for everybody, but then it's just not freedom for you. I can't support that. And so until they do right by him, they don't get my support.
Huh. And Joe, one of the main things you brought out is they're talking about him being unpatriotic. Well, they're unpatriotic at every game they hold because they lay that flag out flat across the field, and that is not supposed to be done.
Yep. Or wrap it around their bodies
Not only that, but let's also talk about the fact that the NFL has been taking kickbacks from the government, not that they were doing things out of patriotism, but because they were getting paid by the Department of Defense to do marketing for the military. So all this patriotic stuff, in fact, it used to be up until, I don't know, it was maybe about 8 years ago, 10 years ago. If you remember, we didn't have, actually it was about 15, 16 years ago, we didn't have, the teams never came out on the field during the national anthem. They didn't bring the teams out until after the national anthem was over, and then you would see the teams run through the balloons and stuff like that on the field. So that whole national anthem thing was just something that was brought on that was brand new, and so I'm kind of pissed at this fake patriotism, because also if they were real patriots, they wouldn't have a nonprofit multi-billion-dollar organization. They pay their damn taxes. So that's right. My rant.
Okay. Well, I didn't know that Colin Kaepernick was a Kappa. But again, I even though I didn't watch the Super Bowl, I'm not going to sit here and say that I didn't watch it because of the same reasons that both you and Henry put out there. But I do agree with you. I just didn't watch it because one, I'm not really into football, and number two, I was watching Star Trek. So I did watch some of the commercials because there was a couple of commercials that I had to watch in the Star Wars commercial. That really doesn't have any too much to do with the Super Bowl. It's just that when they debuted it, but good for standing on your morals like that, bro. Good to go. And you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. They 100% almost every single game, and even on the especially on the Super Bowl, they have this high thing about showing so much respect to the United States and the flag and blah, 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 but they desecrate it. If you want to go according to military customs and courtesies that you're supposed to do with the flag and all that stuff is 100%. The flag is never supposed to be on the ground, and you constantly see them stretch the flag out on the ground, and you see players wrapped.
Well, it's not that it's on the ground. It shouldn't be laid flat like they're laying it, like they're stretching it out flat and they're holding it and blah, blah, blah. The flag is not supposed to be displayed in that manner.
Right, and then also it's not also supposed to be draped around. You're not supposed to wear it as a garment, and you constantly see players wrap themselves up on it. And what I also think is a little bit kind of hypocritical, and this kind of I think this recently came up with President Trump. Sitting here saying that I don't know if it was exactly him, so don't quote me, but said that the United States is a godly country or a God-fearing country or something to that effect. But you're upset. People are throwing so much shade, irregardless of what the meaning for why they're taking a knee. We understand the reason why Colin started that. But the issue is that they're taking a knee and they're praying. Some players pray, some people, but they're taking a knee. They're showing submission, you know what I'm saying, and possibly praying, you know what I'm saying, that, hey, God bless this country and help them get over, help them see past their hypocritical ways and things of that nature. And you're actually upset about that. It's not sitting there on the field turning your backs, doing something outlandish or anything like that. You're taking a knee, which is the universal sign for prayer or submission, you know what I'm saying, to in religious sense. And we're upset about that. And I mean, it's just
well, you know what the thing is that let's be honest about this. Trump was the guy that tried to flip the script on this thing. Because originally Kaepernick was sitting on the bench. He just wouldn't stand, and he ignored the national anthem. And then his name is Boyer, who used to play football, or he was a walk-on onto the NFL, but he couldn't last for one reason or another. And he now works in the front office, and he came over to Kaepernick, talked to him, and said, hey, look, man, let's not disrespect the national anthem by sitting down. We can take a knee, which is respectful, because when we have people that die in the military, you know, when we're burying somebody or we're respecting their passing, what we do is we take their boots, we take their rifle, put it between their boots and behind it, and then put your helmet on top, right? And you know, sometimes uh-huh. when people go up there to pay their respects, they take a knee, you know, and so that was the alternative. Then Trump said, no more taking knees, because he didn't like the fact that they were bringing attention to the fact that there's police brutality. So he started flipping the script on it. And unfortunately, a lot of very uneducated, uninformed people that didn't know what was going on with it, they just started jumping all over it. Because Trump, he comes up with all these different ways to – I mean, he likes a fight. And if you – are not willing to fight him and go head-to-head with him. And he likes an uneven fight. Let's just be honest with it. He knows he's the president. He's going to get benefit of the doubt in this thing. So if he's coming up and punching downwards, you know, he knows he's going to get away with it. So he likes uneven fights. If he ever was in an even fight, I don't know if he would like it so much.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, a lot of things with him – he does a lot of things to, it's almost like that movie, Wag the Dog, which I haven't seen, but you know, he's coming up with trying to throw a whole bunch of shade, and a whole bunch of dust and dirt and stuff in the air to take away from the overwhelming thing, that he's he's on borrowed time, possibly with his presidency and possibly with his freedom, with the way the current investigation is is going. So, it's sad, and it's even sadder to the fact that now, last year, the first maybe 3 or 4 months, it was shock and awe. Now it's so commonplace and so accepted, the stuff that comes out of the White House and all the characters, because it's not just him. It is not just him. It's becoming so commonplace of the amount of disrespect to individuals, to races, to gender, to anything that comes from that office and comes from the people that work in that office. It's gotten to a pace that is so commonplace. If people didn't say there was a morality crisis, the United States is in a full-blown morality crisis right now. Would y'all agree?
I would definitely agree on that. I think people are being very situational with the way that they are dealing with him. So it's kind of, if he does it, it's okay. If anybody else did it, they wouldn't be cool with it. So I think this is really bad for the culture, honestly.
And I think it's also it's sad in a period of 1 year how far on this world stage that this country has become. I mean, we were already in the world's view in a decline, but it has really accelerated. I think this week is the Winter Olympics start. The Winter Olympics starts this week, right?
Yeah,
tomorrow.
Friday,
yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
So
it actually starts tomorrow on the 8th.
So. In the midst of all the shit talking between the United States and I'm going to wipe your country off the face of this map, North Korea and South Korea are actually competing as a unified country. They're both coming out to, and when the North Korea is participating. I don't know when's the last time North Korea. I don't think North Korea has participated in any Olympics at all. Is this their first Olympics at least since the Korean War, which is what, 60 some odd years ago? But they are coming out, you know what I'm saying, as a unified country. So I say that to tie all that in with all the constant, even up to this point right now, the constant shit talking between our so-called president in that country, North Korea and South Korea coming out unified. Now, everybody else, they would sit there and say, "Hey, that's great. Maybe there's a thawing of the tensions and all that." If I would say read between the lines and say, "Hey, that's a big, you know, allies and stuff that we've had, like with British and other countries, they are so sick and tired, especially with Trump in office, that countries are now taking center stage and throwing a big middle finger to the United States and completely isolating our country." So who knows where that can go? And all this has been escalated by white America and a few sprinkled Negroes sitting here and electing this guy and his morality and his thoughts and viewpoints into office. It puts front and center how far this country, how bad we are viewed around the world. And people are saying, you know what? Screw the U.S. You know what I'm saying? China and Russia are now taking center stage as superpowers and world leaders and things of that nature. And everybody else is like, look, we're not dealing with y'all. When y'all decide to get y'all act together, y'all can come back to the grown-ups table and talk. Until then, screw y'all, and y'all miss out on everything that's on y'all. So it's sad. It's really sad. There was a Genuine, to move on with the conversation. Genuine recently got into a whole bunch of trouble because of I guess he was on a TV show that's on in not in the United. I don't believe it's in the U.S. I believe it's overseas, and I think it's their version of like Big Brother or something to that effect. And there's a transgender. I think the person had it cut off. And they got into some conversation, and I guess the transgender said something to the fact that, you know, would you kiss a transgender? Would you kiss me? And Genuine said no. And all of a sudden he says no. And the person came out on the TV and started going off on him and trying to make it seem like he wasn't being sympathetic. And the public kind of went at it, was like, yo, Genuine, you're phony. This is mean and all this. And I'm like, well, in the heat of all this Me Too stuff that's going on, he's being quote unquote sexually harassed. And he stood up to his morals and stuff and says, nah, you're still a man. Even if you cut it off, you're still a man. I'm not kissing no transgender, and I'm not kissing you. And he's gotten all types of backlash and all types of stuff. So I throw this situation out there to say is, do you guys believe that there is some type of gay agenda being pushed in the United States?
Really, Conley?
What?
Is there? Come on.
That's a serious question.
I'm just saying though. I mean, every TV show, movie, sitcom, they probably got this stuff in cartoons now. There's a gay inference. And the gay agenda.
They damn sure have it in Joe's Star Trek. So, go ahead.
Well, and again, so sure there is. I mean, all of the shows on TV, everybody's got a gay on there, and blah blah blah. And I have nothing against gay people. Don't want to put nothing against them. You know what? What you do in your life and in your bedroom and with whatever, that's between you and your God or whatever. So. That's not for me to judge a person and all this type of stuff. Don't want to take it to a biblical perspective, but long story short, yeah, it is what it is. I mean, the man had the right to say he doesn't want to kiss another man, and I don't see any problems with that. I just really don't. How you feel about it, Conley?
So what's my politically correct way of saying it? I'm going to piggyback off of Brother Henry. I don't have, if you want to be gay and you want to do that, then you do that in your own home with whom, whatever, use whatever it is that you want to do. What I have a problem with, and we kind of, I don't know if we've ever talked about it last year on any of our shows, but with all this stuff that's coming out with all these females and all this stuff that's coming up saying, hey, this man touched me, and 10, 15, 20, 30 years later and all this stuff, because somebody might have said a comment to them, or they touched them, or they kissed them, or even did a Harvey Weinstein, or what's that comedian that was jacking off on the people, Louis C.K., I believe, or whatever the case may be. It's a little bit kind of hypocritical that here it is, this the man, and I guess it's another man, whatever, comes to him and sexually harasses him. No, it's not wrong for him to speak out about it, so on and so forth, but now he's being demonized in the public because he's not showing affection to the gay. You know, this whole Me Too things, I mean, come on, get your shit straight. Hell, Ryan Seacrest just got cleared after a third-party independent thing where somebody accused him of doing something. So whether it was a female or a male, in this case it was a male that became a female, sat here and told this person, nah, you know what I'm saying, I'm not kissing you. This double standard comes out, you know, okay, well, he's wrong. It's like, well, he just told the person no. So which way do this quote-unquote Me Too movement do you want to go? For the gay agenda, yeah. I believe there's a gay agenda. You can call, and I think it's one of the perpetuations of one of the things that I say here a lot on the show when I talk is about these about how these kids, the sissifying of our children. We didn't see this back in the day, and there has always been gay people throughout the history of time. You know what I'm saying? But we didn't see this, and now I believe 100%. This is showing to the decline of morality that's being instilled in our children. Joe, Eddie, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know if there's any agendas, and I don't care. That's my thoughts. Like, even when I'm asked about it, I don't care. Nor do I give my mental space that kind of time. It doesn't matter. And in the end, to be quite honest with you, I'm glad all this stuff is going on. Because as you stated, and in the end, like, how do you have free will if you don't have a choice? So I think this is great because everybody gets to see how everybody really is. So now that people have choices, now that people have been given this freedom to show and express themselves, everybody really has a choice. And now you have to parent. And you can't depend on schools, and you can't depend on other people to parent your kids. You have to do it your daggone self. So I'm glad all this stuff is going on. I'm going to keep on parenting the way that I parent. I'm going to keep on censoring the television and stuff that's going on in my house so that when my children see it, they're uncomfortable when they see it so they can make the right decision. But what y'all are doing or what people are doing is watching all this stuff, and we complain about it, but the more you watch it, the more it gets normal. And your values start to lower just like the actual country's values are, and that's when you become of the world, just like it says as opposed to what it says in the Bible. So I'm fine with whatever happens. I'm going to continue to do what I'm doing, and I don't have an opinion about it. I just focus on what I'm supposed to be doing, and I focus on what God has for me to do. And I don't care about conversations about somebody being a transgender, kissing somebody and all that stuff. That is, like, ridiculous conversation to me, to be perfectly honest with you. There's my answer. Okay. I'm going to stop.
All right. Well, can I offer a throwback to that? And I understand I understand exactly where you're coming from. The issue which I throw the Genuine situation is Genuine may feel the same exact way with you. So Eddie, you raise your children to sit here and say, hey, that's not for you, blahzy blah, and then somebody puts your child when you're not around in a situation and not does something, but may say something, and your child may has to stands on his morality and then gets denigrated behind that. It doesn't make you
raise my children right or wrong. I raise my children through example. And in the end, if I'm raising my child correctly and I'm providing them with the values and morale that I have from my practice, then when people say that I denied someone of a transgender, someone that is transgender, when my children hear that, if I'm raising them correctly, their self-esteem will make them feel good about the exposure that they got from sharing that I said no to a transgender person. Like, that is exposure I'm really, really okay with being flooded with, whether it be hate mail or not. Like, really, do I really look bad in this? Now, imagine if he said, yes, I kiss a transgender person. Would you rather that be viral, or would you rather you saying, no, I wouldn't kiss a transgender person be viral? You tell me. Like, listen to what we're really having a conversation about. You're mad that people are, oh, my gosh, they're telling the world that I wouldn't kiss a transgender person. Would you rather that, or you say, hey, I went politically correct to say I don't know? Then what kind of response he's going to get?
I think the conversation is about the hypocrisy, and it's a twofold hypocrisy. We are now in a state where for a long time, women are stepping up and they're sitting here and they're outing people. You know what I'm saying, for past transgressions. Thank you. For transgressions, mm-hmm. past and present. And we all know we're all guilty of things from young men all the way to even possibly now, you know what I'm saying, to women about the way we think, we say, or whatever the case may be. Well, in this situation, a man is doing the same thing, but the conversation that I brought up is like, well, I think that's kind of screwed up. Whereas the male was sexually harassed, another guy, whatever, asks him to get a kiss, and he gets demonized for it, you know, and which leads to the whole thing. You know, which kind of puts the question, is there the gay agenda?
Yeah, so Eddie.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and I'm going to come to you. You know how much respect I have for you, sir, right?
Oh, please. I love this kind of conversation. Don't have to soften it up, whatever you
No,
got.
No, I just so let me ask you this question, because you mentioned, you know, doing what's right and, you know, morale, you know, blah, 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 you know. So your company or whatever, no love, blah, blah, blah. Let's just say, for instance, and then you have to answer the first question for me to even answer the second question, because maybe I don't have a second question. The first question is, so you have a same-sex couple come to you and want counseling. Do you counsel them?
Yes.
You do?
Yes. Next question, or is there no longer a question?
No. Well, I didn't think there would be another question if you said yes, but now I do have another question. I'm confused.
Why are you confused?
Why would you counsel? Well, first, let me ask you this. You say you don't care. You don't care. Well, sometimes asking a question and getting an answer, you know, leads on to more probing questions.
Mm-hmm.
So you said you don't care. I don't even know why we're having this conversation, blah, 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 blah. But I protect my kids, and you talk about people watching stuff on TV now. When I was talking, and I know you weren't necessarily directing that at me, but I'm just saying, when I was talking about, you see it on TV, you see it everywhere in the movies, you see it in the streets, you see it in fashion shows, you see it, I don't care where you go, the barbershop, the hairdresser. Everybody's got a gay now. It's just the cool thing to do for some reason in society. But you say, you know, you protect your kids, and I like to think kids out, but family, you know, you tell family the right way and everything like that. So What is your belief on that same-sex couple or marriage?
I think that that is not biblical.
I'm sorry. It's
my
not
practice
biblical.
Is not biblical. That is not what God would have.
So how do you counsel that, knowing that? I'm asking questions because I don't understand.
No. Yeah, that's a wonderful question.
I counsel people.
Are you going to you finish or you going to answer my question and give me the question?
No, I almost interrupted you. I apologize.
Okay.
You're a little sensitive tonight, Eddie. Come on.
No, I'm not sensitive at all. I'm trying to figure out when do I jump into this jump rope that's being tossed. So I want to know when I'm coming in. Am I coming in or are you going in?
Double Dutch go.
All right, thank you. So what I teach,
poor Henry, catching
in reference,
all night tonight.
What I teach as far as relationships is concerned is typically individual. It is love of self, love of God. So if I have the opportunity, as Christians are, to go into dark and help anyone, if I'm teaching you love of self and I shine light on you, that is for you to reflect inside you, and then you come to the conclusion yourself. If I, as Christians, this is what a problem where it comes for Christianity. If we reject those who are sinners or those who are sinning, mm-hmm. we have no opportunity to enlighten them on anything. If I am teaching them the foundation of love and to love thyself and to ultimately bring them to God, they can get enlightened and make the right decision on their own. But if I deny them and say no because of where you stand and what your beliefs are, I have no chance of bringing them to where the right is. So the problem with us is we won't go where people are to bring them where we are. We say, no, I can't touch that. That's dirty, and that's not what the Bible says. Matter of fact, you cannot see in the Bible anywhere when Jesus has rejected any person. So that's why I would counsel that couple. Have I counseled a gay couple yet? No. I really would love to have an opportunity to work with one, though.
Really?
Okay, so, Eddie, and I asked that question for you to bring out the points that you just brought out, because when you first spoke on this, my perception of what I heard, and I don't know whether somebody else may have heard the same thing, but what I heard was you said, I don't even know, I don't care about it, I don't mess with that, I don't da-da-da-da. And so what you just said, if you realize the questions I asked you and what you just responded, you'll understand why I asked you the questions.
Is that how you to show who I really am?
Yeah, you showed a whole lot more now, because that's where I was going with that. I was going, wait a minute, I don't care, you know, blah, 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 and all these other things. I'm going, well, wait a minute, I think I know you better than that. You do care, and I don't think you would let somebody, you know, like you wouldn't pass up that opportunity to bring somebody to Christ or whatever. And the only, go ahead.
And I just want just add to one thing to what Henry is saying to Eddie as a counselor. Maybe I'm wrong also, but you know, when you made the comment saying that you don't care, and maybe my question I made put it out there in a manner that might have put that. But as a counselor, I would think that you would have to have at least some knowledge and understanding of what's going on regarding that particular subject also. That's all.
Not at all. In the end, ultimately, love is love. When you get to the core of love, it will defeat anything, first and foremost. Second, when I say I don't care, matter of fact, I teach I don't care all the time. I definitely teach I don't care to my children. And when I say I don't care, think about what I said. I don't care that I go viral about that. Basically, what I'm saying is I don't care what people think of me. If a transgender person asked me would I kiss them, I would say no. And I don't care what people's responses are. If you go to my Facebook pages, when I make posts and people comment on them, I don't respond to the comments. You know why? Because I don't care what they think about my posts. I post to share what was inside of me. It's called my wall. I've literally had one person say, he responded and notated, hey, Eddie, so what do you think about that response? I say, I don't at all. I already share what I think about my response in the post. So if you can't gather that, that's on you. But I'm not here to entertain people. I'm here to pour what's in me out to the world. People that are good soil will receive it. People that aren't, they're not, it's not for them, and I don't care because I walk in who I am, and I don't make my decisions based off of what other people think of me. When you live your life thinking about other people or thinking about you, you're not living your life. That's what people's problems are. That's why people are conforming to other people, because they're worried about being in or being judged or people thinking a bad way about them. I don't care.
Right, and I understand that, and for our listeners, though, and for them to understand that, Eddie, you had to say what you just had to say, because everybody's going to get that when you say, I don't care. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, no.
Everybody's going to get that, and if you know me, outside, back in conversations that we've had, right, you know, we've discussed things, and I said, well, I want to do this, y'all said, well, no, da, da, da. Okay, well, you don't forget it. We're just not going to do it. You know, no, no, come on, come on. You know what? No, don't worry about it. I'm done. I could give shit less at that point whether y'all want to do it or not. I've made up my mind, and not being stubborn, I've just made up my mind to know it's not a good day. But and so I get what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm there
well,
too.
I appreciate you wanting me to be understood. I appreciate that. In the end,
well,
that's basically what you're saying. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And what Connie did when he jumped, the only thing I had with Connie's question was, is the gay agenda being pushed? The gay agenda has been pushed, man, since the 60s. It's more prevalent now than it's ever been. And the whole genuine thing or whatever, I would like to believe, or whatever the case may be, or even if it doesn't, it don't make no difference. You know, nobody, I can only speak for me. And you already spoke with yourself, Eddie. But, yeah, no, there's no need of transgender asking me. I don't care how famous I become or whatever. I don't care how much money I make, how much gay supporters I have and all that other stuff. You ask me that question, I'm going to tell them the same thing. No, I'm not going to kiss you because you're a man. You're a man to me. I don't hate you as a person, but that's that. I don't believe in that type of relationship. And I'm not going to engage in that kind of relationship. That's an intimate relationship. Kissing and stuff is intimate. I'm not going to be intimate like that with another man. So you want to hate me, do whatever you want, talk about me, say, oh, that's the word. Say what you want. As Eddie said, I don't conform to the world. Okay? I stand on my morals and my beliefs in God. And I think that's what we all ought to do. There's also something in the Bible that says, though, that we shouldn't just genuinely sit by and watch the demoralization of society.
Thus the creation of No Love Incorporated.
Right, right. You know what I mean? So that's why I say, you know, we have to do something too. You know, we have to be in there just like with the whole gay marriage thing. My whole thing with that is, how come if it's that important for them to have it be called marriage, they don't understand why it's so important for me not to have it be called marriage?
Here's my opinion on what you just said, okay? You're saying how important if it is for them to have it called marriage, that why is it not, they don't see that it's important to you. Well, let's look at all the things that happened to gay couples back over the years before they finally got this legal right. So if you were gay and you had your dying partner at the hospital, people would bar you from being in the room when the person was having their last breath.
Hey, Joe, can I speak to that? That
go
right
ahead.
There, did you just say it? So what they wanted is, and it first came out, and they said, we don't want it to be called. They actually came out and said, we don't want you to make it marriage. We just want you to give us a civil union so that we can see our dying loved ones. So that argument doesn't wash with me. It's the fact that they kept pressing, and now they want to encroach on what the Bible says is between a man and a woman.
That is true, because at one point the fight was to give them the legal status to be able to enjoy the benefits as far as legally being able to get insurance policies, being able to enjoy those things of who they're supposed to be with their loved ones. Then all of a sudden it transformed to, well, screw a civil union. We want to call it marriage, and we want to the same thing. So that is true. They basically fought on being able to get the same thing which you just talked about, being able to be the person who can make the final arrangements and the legal status, which they given and forgotten. Then all of a sudden, now they get it. Now we want to be married.
Well, let's also talk about that, because, you know, the thing was for them to say that they're married, because you got certain states where you got people trying to judge other people's morality. And if I remember correctly, in the Bible it says, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." Okay.
Oh, stop! But we're leaving one thing out. What does the Bible call marriage?
Union between a man and a woman.
I'm not judging anybody. I'm not judging anybody.
But that's what was going on. People were judging.
Yeah, I understand going on.
Hold on a second, Henry.
For you see this way, but there are other people out there that did not see this way. And you think about it, for some of these representatives and senators out here that were talking about at the time how all gay people should be exterminated, how all gay people should be locked up and put into prison. And lots of gay people were locked up and put into prison. So for that situation to go down like that, these people are saying, hey, look, man, I want the same rights as somebody else that has a normal lifestyle. Now, the thing is,
a gay person
that
was locked up and put in prison because they were gay. Oh, maybe I missed something.
Down south, that happened all the time, man. And not only that.
Yeah, they locked them up with the people that had black skin. Go ahead.
Yeah. That's what. In fact, that was my next thing to say. That a lot
here's
of
the difference. Here's the difference. I can't choose my skin. I can't choose who I'm born to.
I understand, and I don't think they can be. I don't think they can choose either, because I'm gonna tell you like this. What I'm saying is that I think they believe that they are not choosing it either. They're being born that way too, and I kind of feel that must be the case, because I ain't never looked at no man and thought, oh well, he was cute. Ever. So, you know, and I'm pretty sure if you're gay, you ain't looking at no woman and thinking she's fine. I mean, it's, you know, it's the same difference. So, you know, so when I say this, I say, you know, a lot of times when people are real quick to judge, or at least to say that, hey, look, they should do this. When you look at it from the other opposite direction, especially from people like ours that have been subjugated and cut out of society in a lot of cases, then we should be able to at least say, hey, look, you know, I understand. I don't agree with your lifestyle.
I agree.
But
that's good.
But
that's
when
you can have a conversation. That's where growth comes from.
You know,
Go ahead. So again, I'm not judging anybody, and I'm well open to the conversation. You said something to the effect of, you see it that way. I can only see it how I see it.
It is how I see it.
And so again, when you bring up the marriage and you know, their loved ones in the hospital, I understood when they wanted it to be called civil. You didn't speak to what I actually said. Marriage is a holy matrimony. It says that is between a man and a woman. That is my belief system. Okay? That is important to me. And one of the big things of tearing down society is the denigration of the family.
Okay, part of that is
the denigration of marriage.
Okay, all right, so let's do this, because this is where it seems judgmental. Because under that same belief system, which in the end, it's sin. Let's call it what it is. And this is where I have the problem with. And this is why I do agree with the statement that I was born that way. I was born gay, because gay is a sin. When it all comes down to it, that's fine. I'm okay with that. I never speak to change people's thought process. But when it comes to, when in the end, we were all born in sin. And whatever your sin or struggle is what you were born in because of Adam and him partaking in whatever the forbidden fruit was. So we are born in sin. So if you were born in sin and gay is happens to be your sin or your struggle, that is what you were struggling with. And with that being said, if we don't have shows that we focus on cursing, which we, under that same belief system that you just said, have heard you curse on the show, I've cursed on the show, Kylie has cussed on the show, Joe has cussed on the show, we have never sat and took the time to break down why that is wrong. That is a sin. That is under my belief system. When all of this stuff is under belief system, we can talk about shrimp. We can talk about crabs. That is under the same belief system that says, we shouldn't do that. We could talk about a ham sandwich or a pork sandwich. That isn't the same belief system that we talk about, we believe in, mm-hmm. yet we don't have shows about those things and break those things mm-hmm. down. But what we do is we go hard on the things that we are strong in, and we say that is ridiculous. That's what I meant by my statement that I am so glad that this stuff is happening and we have a choice. Because now I can see whether it's people that are standing up for their moral values and beliefs or they are standing up because they're scared that they're going to break the law. So those are the two things that I'm okay with, everything coming out and out of closets and all that stuff, because now I see who we're really dealing with. When we get illegal, I can't wait to see all these church folks change their Newports to whatever brand of weed that is going to be new. I'm just waiting. I'm watching and sitting watching that all these people have these different beliefs, and they're so biblical, whatever, and moral, but they only go hard on the things that they're strong about. So that's when it makes us think, huh, maybe it is judging, because I just heard him do something that's not aligned with the Bible, and I know he knows that that's not aligned with the Bible, but he went hard on that for some reason. That's where it starts to look judging. That's when we start to say, eh, he who is without sin cast the first stone. And that's when those who are gay start going through the different Bible verses and stuff like that. So that's when it starts to seem judgy. If we're going to be about something, let's be about it all the way. Let's not half behind, go with the stuff. Let's just go hard on all of it. Don't just pick the ones that we're strong about. Let's go hard on everything. So that's when it seems judgy.
Honestly,
I'm sorry. So again, you're right. But what I won't go with is you're right. We all fall short. I get that. God says, don't hate the person, hate the sin. And we all have sin.
And we talk about people the whole show.
But women don't. But you know what, though? Here's the thing. I've cursed, and what I will tell you is I know I have a foul mouth. I know the Bible says what comes out of the mouth is what's in the heart. And I know that's not what's in my heart. So that's something I work on internally, okay? But that does not infringe. We're talking about changing the definition of marriage. That's something different. I understand the fact that I can't go down to the courthouse and I don't go down there and vote against gay rights and all this other stuff, because I don't go down there and vote against abortion or liars or any other sin. I'm just saying it's supposed to be holy matrimony. The Bible says it's between a man and a woman. As I stated, if it's that important to them to have it called marriage, why can't we understand why those of us that are that call it marriage or always have called it marriage under the man and a woman, why can't it be that important, sanctimonious for us as well? I didn't say it couldn't be changed. I just said, why isn't it as important to us? That's all. There's a question.
No, I think we making it that important is what makes it important to them. I mean, that's what anything. That's why they want it.
And also the other thing is that when they gave the option of having civil unions, there were certain states like Texas and Mississippi and places like that that said that they weren't going to honor those things.
There's still states that don't honor it, so that doesn't mean anything.
But what I'm saying is that federally, because of the superiority clause. It requires that a state do so, or they will be subjected to criminal fines and levy punishment. So at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you like this: the way I feel about it is that we live in America, where I believe that church and state should not cross paths. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people have been looking at church and state like they should be one and the same. And that's not the case because we're not all the same religion here in the United States.
Right.
So
you're entitled to that. I respect your opinion. I do. Because mm-hmm. that's your right mm-hmm. to have that opinion. But the Bible, it also says government, we're supposed to follow our government. We're supposed to respect our government unless our government goes against God's word. That's the only time we're not supposed to follow the
law. The whole show, we've been calling this man 45 and the trash or whatever other things we name him throughout every single show. Again, we quote the Bible, but we do the opposite during the whole freaking show. Like, if we really
are
going to
value. So who's perfect?
I'm not.
Nobody's
hold on,
perfect.
Hold on. When it's a shot that goes along with what it is that you do, we go to the perfect sin. And then when it's something that the Bible says,
how
I'm saying they should not arrange a marriage.
Time out. How is it a shot when you just.
I don't get that.
Step away from the gay thing for a second. And you bring up, when you bring up Trump. How you bring up something is a shot, and we're going way over time, but I gotta answer this one.
Because
how
we just talked about the Bible and how it goes with the government.
How is it a shot where if you have a person that let me use me for an example. Eddie, every time you talk to me, every time you get on the phone, you call me, I tell you, you know what I'm saying, I'm laying in bed, I'm sitting on the toilet taking a shit. If I'm watching a movie, I'm sitting here with my girl doing X, Y, and Z. Every time I open up my mouth, I'm lying. Or every time that I you see me person, you see me doing something wrong, immoral. So how is something shot that he calls out something that somebody is just what you just said prior to that? When we call out something that has to do with something with Trump, this is the stuff that this is what he's actually putting out, and people are calling out about it. So that's not really...
nobody's disputing that. What I'm disputing is the Bible doesn't say follow the government or your leader unless he is da 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 da. There is no fine print. The word is the word. We can't make it fit what we feel and what we think. Let's be honest about the Bible.
Because the last time I remember the Bible verses that I remember coming out of the New Testament, the Testament that talked about government, it said that you were not supposed to run afoul of the government, that you should follow the law
unless it goes against.
Please find that one because I'm going to tell you I've never found that one. And you got to also understand the context. You got to understand the context that at least the certain passages of the Bible were written under when Christianity was in its burgeoning stages in Rome and in the Roman Empire. They did not want to go against Caesar. If you went against Caesar, you might end up getting wiped out. Hence, many Christians were fed to lions. Many Christians were crucified. Many Christians found their way to the end of a sword. So that's
and
why
God stepped in when they honored him, even when they listened to the government, and he took care of them. And that is the way that
exactly.
it's supposed to work.
And that's the way it works.
And can
right.
I step in? I don't want to throw off another debate. Not right now tonight because we don't have
no,
the time. But
won't.
I also
I have to say this:
that outside of Ten Commandments, because they are exactly what they are, commandments. The Bible is subject to whomever is the reader or the orator. You know. So, you know, everybody's saying, well, the Bible says this. We've seen plenty demonstrations throughout history that somebody can read the Bible, read it for what it says, and
Don't say what?
Because there's been plenty
don't
times.
Don't say read it for what it says if you're going to imply that somebody's using it out of context. That's what I'm saying. It's the difference between reading for what it says and reading it in the context in which it is written. That is something totally different. And the Bible interprets the Bible. So there's no isolations in the Bible. There's not anything in the Bible that says one thing and it's a contradiction of elsewhere, whether it's in the Old or New Testament. And I'll gladly, if you show me any passage that you want to imply something, show you the context in which it is written, and then bring it back to the Old Testament or New Testament to verify or validate that same scripture. So, yeah,
okay,
there are people that read the Bible.
I will take you up on it, because there has
been
several.
Even when the devil was coming at Jesus with the 40 days, he was quoting scripture, but he was not contextually saying those things. He was using the word, and he even quoted every word. But the context in which it was shared, it was not aligned with what was going on, and that's what's happening, and that is the problem. That is not the people reading it and interpreting it correctly, and then wherever you were going with that. But I just wanted to make sure that was verified and clarified before you even went any further with your statement.
Okay, well, let's wait. We're already over past time, so let's bring this down. The only reason that I brought the whole thing, the reason that it kind of brought it up to the forefront for me, and it wasn't my intention to harp on the gay agenda so much, but since it was almost like we're it was brought out to the point that we're judging people. No, for me, for Conley Macklin, that's not what Conley was saying. What Conley Macklin was bringing up the issue, and I bring up the issue, anything about being a gay or anything like that, is the fact is, you know, it has to do with the decline that we constantly talk about, that we talk about a lot with how our generations have shifted in everything, things seem like they're on a decline. Now, there's been gay people all the way back in the time with Jesus and before Jesus and all that other stuff, but it's never been to a point in that. Well, I can only talk about our current frame of reference and all that. Is that it's never been to the point where it's now brought up to a where we're at a morality crossroads that it's actually affecting the generations. Because well, think about it. Well, me, you, Joe are all pretty much like 70s. And Henry might be a decade earlier than that. I'm not dissing you, Henry. You're the oldest. But we're all close. We're all close in the age. So if you close your eyes and think about how our generations were and how we carried on, we weren't sitting here talking about how things is how our generation is now sissified and how these kids
why it's rearing its ugly head today. We didn't talk about it. We hid it. We just didn't go over Uncle Such and Such's house. We moved people down to a different state, and all it did was just grow and grow and grow. This is not no overnight mess that happened right now. All this stuff has been happening. We're talking about racism, all this stuff. This is not new. This is just shown now. So all we're doing is unveiling what has been hidden. Nothing that we are seeing now is new at all. America's not getting worse. It's not anything. Only thing it's doing is showing everything that has been hidden. That's all that's happening right now. I don't understand why we're so surprised and shocked about it.
Nobody is surprised and shocked about anything that has to do with racism. I will digress with you that at least for the United States of America, at this point in present time, with this current events, with how everything is playing, you cannot tell me that we are in a quote unquote morality crossroads. You can go and I guess you can talk to anybody who's at least decades older than us and talk about how life was for them, even during the time where it was segregation and we were still sharecropping in the field. You know what I'm saying? Even back then, you know what I'm saying? Even then, outside of that issue of racism, you know what I'm saying, with the way this generation has been raised and what they have been introduced in how this is supposed to be okay and accept all this stuff, you cannot say that, you know what I'm saying, we are not at a morality crossroad. I'll give everybody one more rip to it because we got to bring this to a close. Go ahead.
Okay. So I just like to say, so yeah. Oh Lord have mercy, what's your name? Jesus. Joe. Yeah, so you Google very well. And I was gonna say that too. And so it talks about it in Romans, and Romans is in the New Testament. It's not in the Old Testament. So it does talk about obey the government and do all things that are right. Don't be afraid.
Oh, that's what Joe just sent. That's what Joe just sent us?
That's what Joe just sent. Yeah, but that's where it is. It's Romans 13, chapter 13. And when you read through it, it says do what's right. Don't be afraid, because if you do what's right, you don't have to worry. So when you read that, it tells you do right, pay your taxes, do what the government tells you to do, as long as you're doing right. If the government all of a sudden tells you to go out and just murder people willy-nilly, they say we're going to have a, what do you call that night, the movie? Purge. If the government tells us to go out and to purge, Christians are not to do that. That's my point. So you are supposed to, and that's what I said. God said, obey your government. As long as you are doing what is right.
Well, and also that also goes and flies in the face of the Ten Commandments. Again, we're talking about actually commanded items in the Bible. Hey, thou shall not kill. We blow that out the water every single day just with the existence of our own protection for national defense, i.e. the military. God says, does not kill. What is the military here for? Defense.
No,
which
colleague, stop. Colleague, yeah, stop.
First of all, if you're going to bring up the Ten Commandments, what were the Ten Commandments created for? See, this is where I try to hold my tongue. Why were
because God saw his people in Egypt when Moses went on the mountain. God saw his people, his people
you
in Egypt,
in
and
test,
they
man.
Was. Oh, God, okay.
Keep going.
Okay.
Keep going.
So he saw his people, you know what I'm saying, that they basically weren't doing right. And he said, bring my word back to my people. And Moses stood up on that platform with the tablets and Blasius said, here is what God has spoken to me, and here's what he said. He didn't say Ezekiel said this and Deuteronomy said this. These are the 10 things that say, do not do this, do not do. Those are commandments.
That is not true.
Is.
Sorry, Colleen.
Actually,
are you going to go, Joe, or am I going to?
It was a covenant with God, with the people of Israel, that he would
protect
them.
They brought it up. God didn't bring that up. They brought it up. So God gave them something that showed them that they could not align with righteousness, to push man past himself, to show that they could not live up to the Ten Commandments, so that they would need a Savior. It was just a form of them realizing that they need God and that they could not do or live up to those Ten Commandments, so that they could understand that they need a Savior in order for them to be righteous, sir. That had nothing to do with anything that you just said. It was just foreshadow of the need for a Savior. I was talking about Colleen. I wasn't talking about you. I'm sorry. That wasn't towards you, Joe.
Right, okay.
It's mad
that
funny,
was not
yo.
You, Joe.
It's
That's
so,
all
it's so intentional when it comes down to proving, you know what I'm saying, something when I put up something is wrong, there's a lot of intensity on that one. Basically, what I'm saying is God came up with the Ten Commandments. Basically, these are pretty much laws to sit here and say, don't do this, don't do this. Not